Hi, I'm Roy Colin, and I'm the creator of the podcast. You can find everything about me and the five podcasts on bio.link/podcaster, and you'll find it in the QR code there. I'd also like to thank my sponsors. If you or someone you know is struggling with anxiety and want to know how to be 100% anxiety free in 6 weeks without therapy or drugs, Daniel Packard Anxiety Solution Program Company offers a 6 weeks system that permanently solves anxiety at an astounding 90% success rate. People who join the program only pay at the end once they have clear, measurable results. If you're interested in learning more, go to permanentanxietysolutions.com, where you can book a free consultation with Daniel. You have high blood pressure and want to get off the meds? Doctors are amazed at what Zona Plus can do. Get a $50 discount with my code ROY. Go to zona.com/discount/Roy, and you see the QR code for all my sponsors down at the end. Quality Polish manufacturer of metal products for telecommunication and workshop equipment and other metals. If you'd like a brochure, you see it in the QR code, and you just let us know if you would like a quotation shipped internationally and very competitive rates. I hope you enjoy this week's podcast.
Welcome to the Speaking Podcast. You can find all our episodes on speakingpodcast.com. And my guest today, he's currently in America, author, and he's writing his second book, MMA host, podcaster, which I always enjoy, coach, keynote speaker. Please welcome Nico Lagan. Did I do it justice?
Yeah, bro. Yeah, that's not bad at all. Considering you have an accent, I'll accept it. Nothing like having a guy with an accent telling you you have an accent, right? Well, there we go. Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, no problem at all. So, I mean, there's a few things that I'd like to talk about, but because you mentioned it prior to recording, and I think it's fascinating. So you were in Canada in the woods for like 2.5 years. So how did it happen? And tell us about your journey there, because that sounds fascinating to me.
You know, back in March 2020, when we all know what happened, I had a choice, right? Because I lived alone back then. I lived in the city. I lived in Montreal because I used to be a sales engineer. I used to work for one of the biggest telecommunication companies in Canada. And I was doing face-to-face meeting on a daily basis. Like every day, my responsibility was to be in front of customers, figuring out what they need as per a technical solution to their telecommunication needs. And I was interacting with people day in, day out. This is what I did. Now, when COVID happened, we were the province where I'm from put a lot of restrictions in place. So seeing people face to face was no longer an option. And the only reason I lived in the city is because my job required me to be in front of customers. So I had, I purchased an investment property 7 years ago now, give or take. By then it had been 2-3 years since I've had the property. I was renting it on Airbnb. And it was just like paying itself, not really making money, but just an investment. It's a bank account, right? You just increase in value. It's sitting there. It's paying for itself. So to me, I know it's a bank account that someday I might cash in. And I decided when that happened, I just looked at what my options are. And I'm like, okay, I can stay in the city. I'm not able to go to the gym anymore. I can't teach martial art anymore. My job, I can do it from wherever I want because all our meetings are moved to Zoom platforms, to Teams, to Google Meets. So I'm like, okay, I can do that from the cottage. I can do that from the house, but at least I'm going to have the freedom to do whatever I want over there because it's literally in the middle of the woods. So I got rid of my place in Montreal, and back in March 2020, I moved to the middle of nowhere. I was there with my German Shepherd. And I ended up spending 2.5 years there. Within the span of the first couple of months, I took a sabbatical from my work. Because it's extraordinary. When you start spending time by yourself, you start removing all the distractions. Because back then, I would get up at 3 o'clock. Not that, this has not changed, by the way, just so you know. I still get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. But I was working on developing my plan, my 5-10 year plan back then. I was looking to see where I would go after my corporate job. And I used to get up at 3, go to bed probably 10, 11 o'clock at night. And throughout between 3 and 11, it was busy. I was studying, going to the gym. By the time I got to the to my first business appointment, I was already up for about 5-6 hours. I'd work my 9-10 hour day. I'd go back home, take a 15-minute nap, gear, bring my martial art gear, and I'd end up at the gym teaching. So that was my life for a year or two when I was in Montreal. And once I remove all of this, you start realizing that you that I was creating distractions, that I was really, I'm an extrovert. I like to be in front of people. I like to interact with people. And I realized that as much as I'm an extrovert, this is a weakness that I've always had, because I've always gone instinctively without realizing it. I've always filled up my days to always be busy so that I did not confront the fact that I did not like to be alone, that actually being alone scared the shit out of me. And back in March 2020, I'm like, okay, this is a situation in which I find myself. What are my options? And as much as it scared me, I decided to move to the middle of nowhere in order to kind of reflect on my life, where I was, and what came next. Within, like I was saying, within a couple of months, I was on the I took a sabbatical from work. I took probably, I think I ended up taking 4 months off of work. Within the first couple of weeks of that sabbatical, I was jumping on my motorcycle, strapping about 100-pound of gear on it, and I left by myself. I did not really know where I was going. I had an idea of what I wanted to do, but I ended up leaving for 3 weeks by myself, and I had the experience of a lifetime. It really put everything back in perspective to what I wanted to do. And then from that day, I started working on my corporate world exit. So when I, for 2.5 years, all I did is I started creating content. I identified what my transferable skills, what are the skills that I've learned over a long career that can translate into something where I could go on my own. Because by the time I was coming back to work after that sabbatical, my job was forcing employees to get vaccinated. And if I didn't get vaccinated, I was going to lose my job. And I don't care what people do with their bodies. If you believe that the vaccination was the best thing for you, all the power to you. I believe in let and let live. I don't care. Outside of my girlfriend and I, everybody I know is vaccinated, like in Canada. So whatever. But I did not feel right about it, and I wasn't going to do it for a job. So I prepared my exit. I simply continued working. I started creating content with literally two cheap microphone and an H6 Zoom recorder. And I did a full reno on my house. This is what that 2 years was like. Just working 16 hours a day, dedicating myself to this. And after 2.5 years, I refinanced my house, took all the equity out, took all my savings, and my girlfriend and I left Canada. I started a business where I coach people. I've been coaching people for a while now. Like prior to leaving, I was already coaching people, but I started to coach people on content creation. How, because as a man, if you speak the truth, it's very hard for you to grow on social media. If you don't have a pair of tits and a nice ass, people don't care. In general, people just don't care. So that's all I've been doing. Over the past 3 years, I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars figuring out the algorithm, putting methodologies in place that are proven to work. And I needed the time to prove them that it worked. I also wrote my first book. I'm writing my second right now. And yeah, we've traveled through 23 states now. We're in Alabama right now. I've been here for about 2 weeks. And it's the 20th RV site that we do in the US. I've gone as far north as Seattle, as far southwest as San Diego. We've been all the way to the east up to North Carolina. Now we're in Alabama. The only states that we have left that we want to explore is South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi. And they're right here. We can drive. Like, we were in Nashville this weekend recording street interviews. So this is the life I've been living for a year now. And hopefully I can inspire men out there to go after it, to develop themselves into finding purpose and then putting into action.
Excellent. And you
That was
mentioned.
not a short answer. My apologies,
No,
but yeah.
it was very interesting. I would have interjected if it wasn't interesting, so it was
There
very
you go. I appreciate it.
like you mentioned, and I think it's important that a lot of corporations, they were pushing the poison needle. And
Oh, there you go.
the thing is, you wouldn't get a person signing their name to it when they were given that letter. And it was kind of down to the person to kind of realize the trickery that goes on. And now, even in Canada and in Australia, where it was really harsh, they're going, "We never forced you to do it." So,
Oh, yeah.
and obviously, it's coming out now. There was even one article in Australia that just came out and actually said everything we knew, which we knew from the start. But the thing is, like myself, would be attacked left, right, and center because they tell you put your tinfoil hat back on. But once you start learning about law, sovereignty, and everything, you realize the trickery that they do in everything that they do against us. But instead, I like because I know you're the masculine and everything, and it shocks me how we don't see that anymore. But with a lot of people, like they kind of realize they've been hoodwinked, maybe on their 35th jab or whatever, they've kind of realized, hey, there's something wrong here. But is it the ego that is preventing them putting up their hand and going, yeah, I was actually wrong? Because they don't do that.
You know, are you talking about the people in power? Or are you talking about the people themselves? Like,
Not the
are
people themselves that have fallen for this.
you know what it is? It's, I realized something when I was 14 years old. So, more than 21 years ago, I realized that actually, oh man, 17. Oh, Jesus, I'm getting old. That's 27 years ago. Oh, Jesus.
You're getting old.
27 years.
I'm 51 tomorrow, Fancy.
I'm 41, so there you go.
I've 10 on
But
you.
you know, and you have more hair than me, so go fuck yourself. But you know, when I was 14 years old, I already knew how critical thinking was crucial. I already knew this. And you know, back then they didn't have a name for what I was, but I've been a conspiracy theorist my whole life. Since I can remember, I've always doubted what people tell me. I take everything with a grain of salt. I sit back and I do research and I'm like, okay, does that resonate with me or not? Does that make sense or not? The thing that I've come to realize is the first step to understanding what's really going on is to first admit to ourselves that there's no knight in shining armor that's going to come to save us. That people don't give a fuck about you. People don't like you. The people in power are selfish. They don't care about you. If they tell you you need something, chances are they're trying to sell you something. If something is free, you are the product. You have to understand this. And this is the biggest fallacy that we see in today's world is, on one hand, people know that the power it be don't care about themselves, but it's too big of a step to admit, because once you admit that they don't care, that they don't like you, you jump into a rabbit hole, and that rabbit hole never ends. Like, there's no way to end. As soon as you put a, you know, when you start looking into the abyss looks back at you and grabs you, like, come on, motherfucker, I got some shit to show you. And this is what I think scares people, is if they admit to themselves that nobody cares, that opens the door to not only do they not care, but it's been proven time and time again that they will experiment on you, that you are just a guinea pig if you let them do it. That if you continue going with what they want, it will never get better. That the only way to separate yourself from all of this is to accept that you are on your own. And there's nothing much more frightening to the average individual than to admit that they are alone. We want to belong. As when it comes to human beings in general, we want to belong. We want to be with people that are aligned with our thoughts. We want to have a tribe. We want to have people that cares about us, that we can depend on, that can depend on us. So if you start by admitting to yourself that all the people that are in power don't care. They're just as selfish as you are. They care about themselves, their families, and they will do whatever it takes in order to get more powerful, because that's what they crave. People in politics today don't care about the people. They care about power. That's what they crave. We have encouraged psychotic behavior. We've been idolizing psychopath, and we wonder why our politics is in the world of hurt that it is right now, because this is what we value. We value people that can take decisions without caring about the ramification of those decisions, because we think that's powerful, but it's not. But at the same time, unless you admit that to yourself, you will be the person with 45 jobs, because you don't want to admit that you are the problem and that they don't care about you. It's on you to do something about it. And it's a hard pill to swallow. I have faith. I'm somebody that has a lot of faith in myself, others, and in God. And I tend to be an optimist. As much as I'm a realist in my views, but I also choose to see the good in people. And I can see a difference when it comes to more than 3 years ago when this whole thing started. I had lost faith. I had lost so much faith that I decided to move away from people because I couldn't take their insanity. This is what I did. So I lost faith in people. It took me 2.5 years to go by myself to find that faith in people again. This is what I needed to do. And unless somebody is ready to do this, they will never be exposed to this way of thinking. Unless you're ready to spend time by yourself, to remove those distractions, to stop listening to everybody, turn off your TV, turn off the news, and just sit down and see where you fit in all of this. Have the courage to sit down and fit. You'll never realize this, and you see it now. Like, look around you. People are so scared of everything. They don't understand a simple thing as divide and conquer. This has been written by Niccolo Machiavelli in The Prince 500 years ago. This is nothing new. We've been led like this for more than 500 years now. The book is right there. It costs $12, not even on fucking Amazon. You can get it. It's 100 page. Super easy to read. It's right there. He explained all of this shit 500 years ago. George Orwell predicted the future in 1984. The data is right there. If you want to understand where we're going, read 1984 and read The Prince. Those are the two books everybody should read. And then you'll start to realize that you're on your own. But it's a hard pill to swallow. It's a scary pill to swallow. But at the same time, if your life sucks, it's your fault. If you're not happy in your life, it's your fault. If you find yourself to be unhappy, yes, it's your fault. But at the same time, it means that you have the power to do something about it. We're powerful beyond measure. Our mindset is so strong that you can change the way you see the world, because happiness is all it is. Happiness is not achievable. The pursuit of happiness is. Why do you think it's part of the amendments? It's part of the amendments in the US. It is something that they based their system of law on. Not being happy, but having the opportunity to pursue happiness, because they knew that it's a state of mind. If you try to reorganize your life in a way where you put all the good pillars in place to say, okay, this is what will optimize my happiness, you'll notice that your mindset is going to change it. You're going to stop focusing on the negative, but you need to admit the negative first. That's the first step. Admit that life sucks, that life is not unicorns and fairies, that you don't live in a world where people care. We don't live in a utopia. Nothing's fair in this world. You want something, go for it. Because nobody's here to give it to you. Nobody cares to give it to you. You don't care about others. You might think that you're holier than thou, but I can show me someone, I'll show you somebody that's selfish. We're all selfish. As much as we don't want to, we're all selfish. You don't care about your neighbor, really. So why would he care about you? So it's on you to do something, right? Whatever the problem is, it's on you.
And which, you know, kind of going down the rabbit hole and like the algorithms of social media, it's kind of the same with the people that you're around, because we have seen people fall out because of the negativity. Because even 100%. If you don't watch the telly, if you're hanging around with 10 people that watch CNN,
Yep.
You're not going to have a positive conversation. And there's times you just have to walk away. And like you said, the most people, they think we're doomed. We're, you know, but there is, if there's so many people doing incredible things. And once you open your eyes to it, you'll see more of it. And you say, you know, you have to be conscious of what's going on. And I think that's the problem. Most people think it's not my problem. What can I do? But the thing is, I think like at ground level, we can make a difference. We can make a difference in the small little communities, because if you actually stop something that you know is wrong, but the problem is we all tend to tend to go, it's not my problem, let somebody else deal with it. When the reality is we all know what's right and wrong. And if we actually snip it in the bud at an early stage, it doesn't kind of cascade.
And that's what courage is all about. This is why the book I'm writing right now is about the five virtues of a good man, and courage being the number one virtue. Without having the courage to face yourself, because, you know, at the end of the day, it all starts with you. I'm a Christian. I believe in the stories of the Bible. I believe that they can make you a better person. But whatever you believe in, whatever, even if you're not religious, even if you're just spiritual, Buddha spoke about this. Buddha spoke about the middle way. It always has to do with looking at the facts and realizing that most of our decisions are somewhere in the middle. But you need to see what's good. You need to see what's bad. And you need to take the decision that sucks. You need to have the courage to say, this is the situation. This is the reality. And from there, you can do something about it. And as you mentioned it, this, your inner circle is one of the most valuable things that you have. You know, the expression that you are the sum of the five people closest to you is 100% true. Unfortunately, we never consider the fact that our families are some of the most toxic people we allow around ourselves, because they're family. But to anybody that's listening to this right now, I was raised by a single mother. I have a sister, and my sister and my mother don't speak to me anymore. The more I become closer to my truth, the less they're interested in speaking to me, because my beliefs goes against their victim nature. They're not responsible. In their head, everybody else is responsible for their problems. And I can't argue with this. I can't argue with this. If that's your belief, I would be wasting my time to try to explain to you that this is not the case. You're not hurting bad enough in order to want to change. You haven't hit rock bottom yet. The day you do, this is where we're open to opportunities. But the point in the matter is that it's all about your mindset, and there's nothing you can do about those people and the way that they think. But what you can do is remove them from your life. And that doesn't make them
hard. Like, because what you've just said there, no, because I know there's people I know, and you know, the parent or parents or something are so toxic that they're ruining their life. And
100%.
And there's other people, they have friends from a childhood, and they believe they're my friends. They have to my friends. And like, I've had situations where I go, no, they are toxic. I can see it a mile away. Mm-hmm. And like what you said is, why should you? Because it is very difficult when it's a family member. Like, but like, I mean, like, I know that in kind of cousins and stuff like that, if I knew somebody wasn't serving me and they're sucking you, and you know, they're not good people, I don't want to be near them. And I've never regretted it. And most people think you have to be. So I commend you on actually doing that. And I think more people have to do that, that you don't stay in the circle when there's mud being thrown. It doesn't mean that they can change. I mean, because we have to have forgiveness for everybody, and their life could shift and everything. But at the same time, you have to serve yourself.
But, you know, I would go even further than that, because you touch on a good point. So having somebody that's toxic to me is super easy to remove, because I can be true to myself. I'm a brutally honest type of person. I'm extremely hard on myself, but I'm extremely hard on the people around me. It's not easy to be around me, because I expect a lot from people around me, because I expect to give a lot to those people too. It's a two-way street. We own 50% of each relationship. Nothing more, nothing less. You're not responsible for the other 50%. You own 50% of what you're ready to give of that 100% of that relationship. The fact that, you know, one of the things that, and you touched on this, one of the things that's hard for people to do is to say, okay, here's a family member. That's my mother, my sister, whoever that person is. To write down, to really take a piece of paper, split it right down the middle, and just say good, bad, and rank every single person that's out there. Are they, because there's only two type of people, whoever they are, there's two type of people in your life. The people that will bring you up, the people that will elevate you, and the people that will bring you down. And unfortunately, the ratio is brutal. There's not a lot of people in your life that wants your good. They don't. I would argue that it's at least 95% of your life, of the people in your life, don't care about you. You're only there because you serve a purpose for them. At the end of the day, they don't care about you. They care about themselves and what you represent to them. But it takes a very brutally honest person to be able to categorize all those people and to even see past that. Because you put somebody in a column that says bad on top of it doesn't necessarily mean that they are bad people. It simply means that they are not elevating you. They are not bringing you to where you want to be. And there's only one way forward. And it's a lonely path. But you do need to remove those people from your day-to-day life if you want to change your mindset, if you want to change the way you feel about your life. Because having toxic people, you could be trying everything possible to try to better yourself, but if you're surrounded by toxic individuals, you'll never be able to grow. There's always going to be something to hold you back. And you know your buddy that you've known since high school, that maybe you've known him for 30 years, you have to be able to look at him and say, okay, every time I spend time with him, what do we do? Because there's only three types of people, like there's only three types of relationship that you normally have with a buddy. You speak about problems, you speak about solutions, like you speak about other people, you speak about problems, or you find solutions. Those are the only three types of people that you normally carry around you, or people, those are the type of conversation that you have. And you need to be able to look at those people and say, okay, where do they fit? When I spend time with them, am I just numbing my brain and entertaining myself? Am I discussing other people? Am I blabbing in people's back? Am I being negative? Am I speaking about problems? Because that's a step over it. But then you have the third type of people, that those are the people you want to surround yourself with. People that have solutions. People that work towards solutions. But how many people do you have in your life? Like, and I'm talking about anybody that's listening to this. How many people do you have in your life that fits that third category? Maybe one, maybe zero. But how many people are toxic? How many people are truly toxic that when you spend time with them, all you do is numb your brain? You drink, you party, listen to sport, whatever. All you're doing is entertaining your mind. You'll never grow. You will never. It is impossible to grow if all you think about is entertainment. It takes sacrifice. And this is one of the toughest sacrifices you'll ever make, is to tell your friend of 30 years or 20 years or 10 years to say, bro, I've enjoyed spending time together, but my goals are higher than this now. I have something else I want to work on. And unfortunately, you don't fit in that new path that I have. And, you know, you might not even have to go do this, because if you concentrate on spending more and more time working on what you want, those people normally disappear. They're only going to try so long to get you to do something with them. If it's a fifth or sixth time you say no, they'll just remove themselves. So it might be a lot easier than you think. But the decision to start saying no, to stop wasting your time, literally. Because your time, unlike what people think, money is not the most valuable thing on this planet. Time is. Not only is it's valuable because you have no idea how much of it you have. It's priceless. Time is priceless. And who you choose to spend your time with is the biggest compliment you can give someone. If I decide to spend time with someone, no, I know that this I'm spending my most valuable asset. This is the best thing I could do, is to decide to spend time with someone. Give them some of my time. So people need to start seeing their life that way. What matters? What really matters to you? Remove all the rest. If it doesn't matter, remove it. Stop lying to yourself. Stop being a little baby about it. Stop complaining. Stop thinking that you're a victim. You're not. Your life sucks. Your fault. Admit that. accept that, then do something about it. And those choices are not easy. They're fucking hard. They're really, really hard. They're not, you know, my first book is all about that. And you know what? I care so much for helping men out there that I broke my exclusivity contract with Amazon last week in order to be able to offer the audiobook for free. Like, it was narrated by a great guy. Don't worry if my voice gets on your nerves. I get it. But it was narrated by a brilliant guy. And the book is on my website for free. If you want to understand everything we've been speaking about, I wrote a full book on this. And the audiobook is now under the publications off my website. You can go there, download it. And the trick, I will show you the tricks that I've used in order to get everything I've learned when I was in the woods. I put it into a book, and now I'm giving it away to people, because even if I help 20, 30, 40 people with this, it will have made that book worth it. Because they're hard truth. If you don't want to feel like shit, don't go listen to that book, because I guarantee you, I'll make you feel like shit. I guarantee, this is a guarantee. If there's one thing I can guarantee out of this ain't going to make you feel better. 6 months from now, you'll thank me. But right now, if you listen to this, you ain't going to like it. But if what we're talking about resonates with you, if you can see the truth in what I'm saying, this book is for you, and I'm giving it away. I just want to give it away to people. But it is on you to do something about it. This is what it always comes down to, this, right? Accountability is the biggest problem we have today. If you look, tell me a problem and I will point it to someone that did not want to do their job every single time. There's nothing more simple than every single problem in society boils down to accountability. Somebody somewhere did not want to do their fucking job.
With the friends, I mean, I think we've all been in a situation where you're going out on the piss with your friends, and then when you kind of realize, I don't want to be doing this too much, you don't really have that much in common. And when you stop going out drinking with them, they disappear. And I think that's the best thing that can happen, because sometimes you think you're having fun and it's not. It's just, you're just getting out and you're just, you know, you're in a different environment and everything. And if you don't drink, you'll actually just have as much fun. But sometimes the connection that you have, you think is a big bond, and the reality is it's just because you're drinking together.
It's awareness. What, when it comes to it, is to be aware of what you are, the people that are around you, and what do you hold power over? Awareness is everything. You know, I'm a very grateful person by nature. I was just talking about this with my girlfriend this morning. How it's so important for people to look at all the little gifts that they have every day. Like, I'm a big fan of cigars. And one of the things I do almost every day is to just go sit in the grass with my laptop. I don't have any shoes. I'm sitting in a small chair, feet in the grass. My dog's right there. I'm working off my laptop, or I'm reading, and I have a cigar in my hand. This is a small gift. The sun rises right next to me right here. So I get to sit on the grass and just stay there and enjoy it. Those are the things that will end up making you happy. Those little great, that being grateful. And you know what? Yes, sometimes your life sucks. Absolutely. But there's so many good things that are just there. And as you said, you know, the day that you start looking at everybody, the day you start being very analytic and logical about this and say, okay, those are the people who should stay there, you start realizing that if that person is not there, like, what's the reason? You know, that's the question you should ask yourself. What is the reason for that person to be there? Why would I keep him there? What's his role? What is that person's role in my life? Are they supposed to teach me something? Am I supposed to teach them something? Are they going to walk with me for a little while? Are they just, am I just meeting that person for the first time, and that'll be the end of it? I'll never see that person again. But I ask myself that about everybody that I meet, everybody that's in my life, everybody that I've ever met, everybody that I meet, the people I'll meet today, I'll ask myself that question. Why are they there? I don't believe in coincidences. There's a reason why people enter your life. And the day that you start analyzing this, the day you start asking yourself questions and you start realizing that you're way more powerful than you think, you start attributing reasons for people to be in your life. If they don't fit you, remove. Oh shit, why is that person there? Why are they so nice to me? Why are they trying to help me? Why are they trying to help me? But this is that awareness we don't have anymore because we're so distracted by fluff that really doesn't matter that we forget to just step back. Just take a step back from everything and just say, okay, how's my life going right now? Okay, why is it going like this? Oh shit, that person's always complaining about shit and I spend most of my time with them. No wonder I feel like shit. Oh, maybe it's the fact that I treat my body like a fucking dumpster instead of treating it with the respect and the respect that it deserves to treat it like a machine so that I gain access to my mind. Your body is a machine. If you start working out, you start training, you start treating it with respect, you start feeding it the food that it needs, you'll notice your mind works a lot better. It's no different from toxic people around you. When you start removing, you know, if you look at the waves, they've analyzed waves when it comes to negativity and positivity. Negativity is a longer wave, and positivity is a smaller one. It's like the same principle as the negative thought will always eat positive ones. If you step in a room where, think about this, you're in a meeting, everybody's happy. One single person steps in and is unhappy. They have the power to change the fucking room. But how hard is it to be the only happy person in a group of nine? To be the 10th person to show up in a group of nine unhappy people, you will become unhappy. The same thing, if you're nine people that are happy, you show up one person that's unhappy, chances are they'll impact everybody else to a point where hopefully people that know each other, that know themselves, will stand up and leave. But this is true. This is a reality that we need to admit to ourselves. Everything has an impact on you and you control it. It comes down to you. It always comes down to you. What are you ready to do to feel better? What are you ready to do to better yourself? What are you ready to do to provide a better life for your children, for your family? Because if you can't do it for yourself, do it for the people you care. Because a lot of people feel bad doing this for themselves because it feels selfish. But yet, if you're in an airplane, what do they tell you? Put the mask on you before you put it on your kids. In order to be selfless, you need to be first selfish. You can't be selfless without being selfish first. Take care of yourself. Take care of your mind. Take care of your body. Take care of your spirit. Only then can you help others. And if you can't do it for yourself, do it for the family. Do it for the people that depend on you, the people that deserve your time.
Like with, you know, the food, the exercise. Like when you're doing that, you don't have to be taking all these toxic pills, which in turn have massive side effects and everything. I have nothing in the house. I don't take an Anadan. I don't take anything. It's like my body is just like, I go to the gym maybe 3 times a week and I've always done exercise and everything, but I'm so shocked at the amount of people, and you open their cupboard and it's like a pharmacy.
Yeah.
And then they're wondering why their thought process, why they have aches and pains. And you can't put that on the doctor. You can't put that on anything on the job. Everything is back to ourselves because we make the decision and we can change it. We can change the whole lot from simple steps.
Do you really want something? If yes, it starts with you every time. There's, you know, you only control three things in your life: your emotions, your actions, and your reactions. This is all you got. How you feel about yourself comes from you. The actions that you take every day comes from you. And your reactions. Stop thinking that the way you react is unconscious. You have the power to establish a path between your conscious thoughts and your unconscious thoughts. Just like Bruce Lee said that you should never speak ill of yourself because your mind does not know the difference. If you keep telling yourself you're a loser, guess what? Your mind will believe it. But at the same time, there are techniques of self-hypnosis that I speak about in my first book that if you do every day, tell yourself that you are able to accomplish something, guess what? Next thing you know, you've accomplished it because you believe it. everything is, if look at the marketing from, why do you think that news make you feel like shit? Because they're using those same hypnosis techniques to make you feel like shit, because that's the state of mind that they need in order for you to buy their poison. They want you to be distracted, to be scared. So they talk to you in a certain way that will keep you distracted, that will keep you in a state of fear, in a state where you're going to just buy everything they tell you you need, instead of simply saying, you know what, this is toxic, shut the TV. That's what I did when I was in the woods, man. I stopped listening to the news. I stopped listening. I almost removed myself from social media just because I needed time to reset everything and to start analyzing what should be in my life and what had no place in the new direction that I wanted to take. And it's the only way. It is the only way to get there, is by owning responsibility that your mind belongs to you. You and you alone, and you have the power to change it. But everything that you do has an impact on it. Everything. Everything in your life has an impact on it. And unfortunately, living like a monk is not a possibility for most people. We have lives, people have kids, people have jobs, people have responsibilities. But there are ways around this in order for you to get to a state of mind that is healthy. And if you're not hitting the gym, if you're not eating properly, and if you're not meditating, praying every day, guess what, bro? You're not giving yourself a fighting chance. You're not even giving yourself a chance. If you're not taking care of your body, your mind, and your spirit, there's no way out of this. There's none. You'll always be unhappy. Always.
With the social media, because I know you've got massive social media, but one of the things that just yesterday I put up, I have a Polish podcast, and I constantly, it's free of course, and I'm just sharing all the different things, and it's, I'm not sure if you do much on Reddit, but Reddit is like an upvote, it's like, it's not like a thumbs up, but it's like,
yeah.
And I know the comment, the comments that people, somebody commented on the title, but they were wrong, but they commented, and that got 20 upvotes as opposed to one on the thing. And that's society today on social. There's so much, they put the energy to the negativity instead of the positivity.
It's easy, because it's easy to be negative. Yeah. By default, people will always default to negative thoughts. Always. It is the positive thoughts that are hard to get. Because if you, again, if you look around you, life is hard. By default, life is negative. So your mindset will always go towards being negative. This is why being mindful of how you feel. Meditation changed my life. And unlike what most people think, meditation is not about clearing your mind. This is bullshit. That shit don't work. Your brain is always going to go somewhere. Always. I guarantee you, this is how we are. You can't do anything. The people that tell you, oh, I can free my mind. Yeah, fuck you. You're not. You're concentrating on your breath. Guess what? Concentrating on your breath is thinking about something. So your mind's not empty, asshole. But the point is, being in a meditative state is simply being. This is why dogs are my favorite animals on the planet. Because whatever I do, I can go on a walk with my dog. I can sit outside with my dog. And all she cares about is right now. She's not thinking about yesterday. She's not thinking about her next meal. She's not thinking about
children how she's going to pay the rent. Most children, unless they've been influenced by the parent, yep, they're not thinking, what will I do tomorrow? Never, no, never.
They live in the present moment right now.
Exactly.
And this is why I meditate, to duplicate the state of mind in which they are. So every day I spend time, close my eyes, sit down, and I just am. Whatever comes to mind, you know, there's a meditator years ago, I was reading his book, and he said, let it come, let it be, let it go. And that's life as a whole. Shit's going to happen. One thing I can guarantee you today is that shit's going to happen in your life. Let it come. Nothing you can do about that. Let it be. What do I change? What can I change about this? Is it up to me to change something? Yes, do something about it. Once it's done, let it go. There's nothing else. This is what life is all about. Be mindful of your state of mind and take the appropriate action in order to make it better. Life is so simple when you think about it. So simple. Life is not complicated at all. We don't want to admit to ourselves that life is simple, so we want to make it complicated. Because life is simple. It's your fucking fault. That's it. That's how simple life is. You can choose to change or you can't change. That's it. Those are your two options. Whatever you want to do with it is on you. But this is how simple life is. And simple does not mean easy. Simple just means that the choices are simple. Changing your mindset is the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life. And continuing it. Because people are motivated. People base everything on motivation. You know, I have one of my, I design t-shirts, and one of my t-shirts says motivation is bullshit. Because motivation is bullshit. Motivation is based on your emotions. There's a good reason why I think the numbers are 90, more than 90% of people that take New Year's resolution will fail within the first few weeks to the first couple of months. Only a very small percentage of people will go ahead and succeed in their plans. Why? Because they try to be motivated. But motivation is attached to your emotions. And you know, another thing I can guarantee you in life is that some days you're going to feel like shit. That is, I don't care how happy you are in your life. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. It's easy to be happy. What do you do when you're unhappy? First thing that goes, motivation. You know, do you think I always feel like getting up at 3 o'clock in the fucking morning? No. Some days I wish I could sleep, but I am so disciplined that however I feel about it, I will just say, you know what, bro, let's go. If you don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. So here's your choice. Get up, go. But it's all about owning it. The only reason I was able to change my mind is by first admitting that I'm the problem. It's all about me. It's all about me.
And finally, your podcast, what's the name of it and what are you discussing in it?
Well, it depends. It really, really depends. It has changed a lot over the years. My podcast goes with where my mind goes. It really depends. You can tell if you look over the years, you can tell my mindset. When I was recording, when I was in the woods, I was more about spirituality. I was more about psychedelics. I was more about finding the little things on a day-to-day life that could change your mind. And as I get more and more involved into masculinity, this is all I think about. So you can tell that the people I speak about or the stuff that I publish every day are more around this or more around my book too. Like my book is taking a lot of my time now. So you can tell the type of content that I put out there. If you pay attention, you know what's going to be in my book because I talk about it all the time. So it's right now, it's all about masculinity. But I don't, you know, unlike most people that try to release a podcast every day, every week, every this, I used to do that. I used to do lives every day. I used to release podcasts with somebody every Friday. Now I'm really just, I create so much content that you can go and see where my mind is at. And the only podcasts that will come forward are never going to be on a specific day. I might not post a new podcast for weeks. All that matters to me right now is to find people that I can speak to in person because all of my gear, all my cameras, all my stuff, I can put it in a bag and bring it with me. I made sure that I can record. I like to record with people in front of them, being in the same room, the same energy, like sharing that energy with them. So right now, the podcast is all about who I'm going to meet. Like I spoke to so many different people that I just meet. I'll meet somebody at church. I'll meet somebody at the gym. I'll meet somebody that contacted me through social media, whatever. Doesn't matter to me. If I can find people that I find inspirational to me, I know that others are going to feel the same. I like to talk about hard lives. I like to talk about people that went through a lot and somehow found a way forward. So this is all I'm going to do right now. I don't know. Whatever. I have no idea when my next podcast is going to come out, but I create so much content, like I said, that I create content, 3, 4 videos, 5 videos a day. That's all I do. So whatever. But the podcast, you can expect, if you go back through my podcast, I just always spoke to people I found inspirational.
Listen, Nico, totally enjoyed the conversation. Might let people know where they'll find you.
You mean the monologue? You enjoyed that monologue? You know, you can find me, you can go to my website, nicolagan.com. As I was saying earlier, my first book is free. So if you go under publications, you can download it right there. You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook at Real Nico Lagan. You can find me on YouTube and Rumble at Nico Lagan. But name the platform, I'm there. Doesn't matter that it's Twitter. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is, I'm there. Just look for a bald-headed idiot with a mustache, and that's probably me.
I'll make sure I put the links both in the audio and the video. Thank you very much, Nico.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time, brother.
No problem. So that's all for the Speaking Podcast. You'll find all our episodes on speakingpodcast.com. Until next week, take care.
So I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. You'll find everything about me on bio.link/podcaster with all my podcasts, and you'll find it you see in the QR code in the graphic I've shown. I'd like again to thank my sponsors. So if you or someone you know struggling with anxiety, I want to know how to be 100% anxiety-free 6 weeks without therapy or drugs, Daniel Packard's Anxiety Solution Program company offers a 6-week system that permanently solves anxiety at an astounding 90% success rate. People who join the program only pay at the end once they have clear, measurable results. If you're interested in learning more, go to permanentanxietysolutions.com where you can book a free consultation with Daniel. Do you fight blood pressure and or want to get off the meds? Doctors are amazed at what Zona Plus can do. You can get a $50 discount with my code Roy, zona.com/discount/Roy. And you'll see it in the QR code as well as Daniel's QR code. Quality manufacturer of metal products for telecommunication and workshop equipment and other metal materials. You'll see the brochure there in the QR code. And let me know if you would like a quotation shipped internationally at very competitive price. I'd like to thank all my sponsors and also all my listeners. Be sure to give me a thumbs up, 5-star rating, share with your friends, really helps. And I also have a video on how to give a 5-star rating because a lot of people have wrote to me asking me that they don't know how to do that. Until next week, take care.